Cheer. Rihanna. Good girl going bad. Take three. Action. No clouds in my stones. Let it rain. I hide your plane in the thing. Coming down like a Dow Jones. When the clouds come, we gone. We Rockefeller. We fly higher than weather. And cheap vibes are better. You know me. In anticipation for precipitation, stack chips with a rainy day. Jay, Rain Man is back with Little Miss Sunshine. Rihanna, where you at?
You have my heart, and we'll never be worlds apart. Maybe in, but you still be my star. Baby, cause in the dark, you can't see shiny cars.
On Facebook, of course, you can find me on Facebook, The Maggie Dawn Show. Twitter is at The Maggie Dawn Show. Thanks for joining us and thanks for hanging in there. Lots to talk about today. And the place that I want to start is talking about what's going on with Trump's fundraising. Obviously, now he has two criminal indictments pending against him. The one over the hush money payment criminal issue in New York State. Of course, the national security and records problems stemming out of the hoarding of highly sensitive national security documents in Mar-a-Lago. And it looks like this is continuing. So it's been very interesting to watch how Trump has been paying for all of this because, and don't I know it, lawyers are expensive. You can always join us, 844-967-2789. And let's just be clear here. There are all sorts of various vagaries in campaign finance law, and one of them is the use of these leadership PACs. I talked a few weeks ago about how Congresswoman Gwen Moore is using her leadership PAC to pay for some really nice dinners and limos and tickets and things. But the president also has a leadership PAC. And when he began running for the 2024 presidential campaign, he was very, very clear that he was going to put about 99 cents of every dollar was raised online was going to go to his campaign, and a penny would go to this leadership PAC for Donald Trump's use. The leadership PAC's called Save America. And these leadership PACs have much more loosey-goosey fundraising rules than do straight-up campaign contributions. For example, you can't take campaign contributions and pay your criminal lawyers with them. So, you know, that's not a particularly helpful vehicle for the president. Instead, again, there's this leadership PAC. Well, it didn't really get any mention, you know, on Foxy News and other outlets. But in about, let's see, they're pegging this sometime this February or March in the details, in other words, the literal fine print of the contribution solicitations, the email blasts, the text messages that go out to Trump supporters. The little disclosures changed just a little bit, my friend. And what do they now say? And again, just by using the Internet Wayback Machine, we've been able to sort of track these and figure out that I think it happened sometime in February, March. And this has been reported now today in the New York Times, that instead of 99 cents of every dollar donated online to the president's reelection campaign, and just 1 cent going to the leadership pack, you know, for whatever uses the former president may find helpful, criminal defense lawyers, I don't know, maybe. Now that has nearly reversed entirely. And again, you would not see this unless you were in the very, very fine print of these contribution solicitations. So as of February/March, now his campaign share is only 90% of donations, and Save America is getting 10%. That, although it may seem small, gee whiz, there's a big, huge difference if I'm getting a 1% raise versus a 10% raise. And that's what happened here. So we think that since that change, and again, reported today by the New York Times, that that has resulted in an increased revenue to Save America. This is the leadership pack that he can use to pay his criminal defense lawyers, has resulted in approximately $1.5 million additional dollars going to Save for America. Now, this permits Donald Trump not to have to go into his own pocket to pay for these criminal charges. He's effectively using money put forward by regular folks, small donations, and funneling that into his criminal defense fund. I just want to be really clear here. I'm going to read from the New York Times reporting. The existence of this leadership pack and this change in how they're getting money from these online solicitations of campaign donations has allowed Mr. Trump to have his small donors pay for his legal expenses rather than paying for them by himself. Again, this permits Donald Trump, the former, now disgraced, twice impeached, twice indicted, criminally former president, this allows him to not have to pay any of those criminal legal fees himself. That's kind of shocking. I mean, don't you think it would be incumbent, if you're asking people to cough up their hard-earned money, to tell them that this is going to pay for your criminal defense fees? And maybe no one cares. If you're donating, you probably are a true believer. But, you know, at least to make that clear, again, not particularly or clearly required in terms of disclosures under these complex campaign finance laws. But here's what's going on. This leadership pack back in February of 22 announced that it had $122 million. They have to file these certain disclosures. The leadership pack itself does. This is, by the way, these disclosures was how we figured out that Gwen Moore was only spending a very small fractional share of her leadership pack money to help other Democratic Congress people maintain their seats. But here's what. So again, February 22, Save America, Donald Trump's slush fund for his criminal legal defense, had $122 million. By the beginning of 2023, the slush fund, their cash on hand, was down to some $18 million. That's interesting. So where is the money going? A bunch was spent on salaries. Some including the cost of his political activities last year, including some spending on other candidates. But there was $60 million that was transferred to MAGA Inc., another super PAC that's supporting Mr. Trump, and more than $16 million has already gone to pay his legal bills. And here's what Advav Noti, Senior Vice President and Legal Director of the Campaign Legal Center, had to say about this. Quote, I think in this particular situation, specifically because of the use of the leadership pack to pay legal expenses and potentially other expenses that would be illegal personal use of campaign money, there's an unusual incentive for the leadership pack to take in more money than it normally would. Yeah. Yikes. I mean, he's been monetizing the criminal conviction since they happened. He's selling I Stand With Trump shirts with the dates of these two indictments on his website for like nearly $40. I mean, really, you're going to buy one of those? Sheesh. It's only going to get worse, which is what's really interesting here. Donald Trump's favorite legal strategy, and one I know well because I worked in corporate civil defense for a long time, not criminal defense, but corporate civil defense. And that is, you just drag these cases out as long as possible. But that requires being able to pay lawyers for an incredibly long and costly amount of time. And so, you know, we might be approaching that tension point for Donald Trump where, listen, you really got to come up with those monies if you don't want to come out of your own pocket, which, listen, Donald Trump has never wanted to do that, come out of his own pocket and pay for things. Why would I do that when I can have a pseudo charity look like it's purchasing a portrait of myself that I then hang in Mar-a-Lago? You know, whatever comes to mind. Listen, I'm going to tie this into what's going on with Jack Smith's January 6th investigation when we come back from this break. So keep it locked in. If you're listening, stay there. If you want to call us and join the discussion, absolutely want to hear from you. 844-967-2789. A slightly delayed Maggie Dawn show here on Civic Media. Thanks for your patience, folks. We'll be back with more in a moment.
UK.
I am Maggie Dawn, and you are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on Civic Media. You can text or call us to join the show, 844-967-2789. As always, I want to hear from you. You can always listen to us crystal clear on the Civic Media app. Download from your favorite app store. Boy, is that thing cool. You can call or text with one click. You can pick your favorite radio station within the Civic Media radio station empire that Sage and Mike have built. Boy, that's nice. So we've been talking about Donald Trump's fundraising dilemma. Right now, you've got two cases that basically center on documents, right? They have very serious implications, especially the federal indictment, but these are basically document-based cases. From an evidentiary perspective, yes, it will be exceedingly complex in the Mar-a-Lago national security case, because the defense attorneys are going to have to get security clearance. There's complexities about how you present some of these documents to a jury that may not be able to get full security clearance. There's going to be arguments about redactions. There are going to be arguments about whether or not the attorney-client privilege should have been pierced in that case. Don't think there are really good arguments why it shouldn't have been. Though, you know, that will be borne out. In fact, in my opinion, that will be the test of Judge Aileen Cannon's independence. But yeah, they're documents cases at their base. And the reason that I say that is not to diminish their importance. They're critically important, both the New York State case and, of course, the federal indictment. But from an evidentiary and lawyering perspective, they're narrower in scope. What isn't narrow in scope is Jack Smith's January 6th insurrection investigation. So it can only get much more expensive and much more complicated for the president to defend himself. And keep in mind, there's also the insurrection case that's going forward in Georgia. So the scope of what he's got to defend himself against is only going to get broader, not narrower. It's only going to get more expensive, not less, in the near term. And at least one Republican ethical expert says that what Donald Trump is doing with this money is not legal. This is Jason Turchinski, a Republican election lawyer, said he believed that Donald Trump was barred from using Save America donations to pay his personal legal expenses now that he's a candidate, arguing that doing so would be, quote, an excessive contribution under Federal Election Commission precedent. And he said that Donald Trump should not use campaign money at all because it would still qualify as a personal use. So you've got this unclear set of laws. He's now trying to sort of funnel money that's being raised for campaign purposes to pay for his personal criminal defense. You know, is how he's trying to pay for his defense of these crimes leading to further election crimes? I mean, who knows? But this is only getting worse before it gets better. And here's what we haven't been seeing. A bunch of huge rallies hosted by Donald Trump, right? Like, those haven't been happening. Anybody want to hazard a guess at why? Right? I would suggest it might be because those suckers cost about $400,000 a pop to put on.
Not that he'd pay it
anyway.
Yeah, anyways.
He doesn't want to spend that money. Sorry, Evan, you're muted. I can't hear you, my friend. Unmute you, and I will be happy to listen to you. Also, my friend Vicky from Burlington Online One. Welcome to Maggie Dawn Show. Vicky, thank you for listening. What say you this fine afternoon?
Hi, Maggie. You know, that grift.
I can't hear
him. He created a whole class of grifters. I won't call their names,
Vicky?
But, you know, they made a lot of money with podcasts and all these, you know, and it was all for the grift. But when you brought this up today, it reminded me, do you remember in the run-up to the 2020 election, it was either Win Red, you know, they don't have an original idea. You know, we have the crack blue, they came up with Win Red. We had the resistance, they came up with the persistence. Look, Republicans don't have an original idea, but donors, usually seniors, were donating to the Trump campaign, and there was a small print, and all of a sudden they were being charged monthly. And you had to deselect being charged monthly in order not, and they had a really hard time getting their money back. It's such a grift. And so that whole group of grifters, including Elon Musk, who's charging $8, they're paying $8 to get a blue check on Twitter when Elon is giving anybody with any name recognition that blue check for free. They take advantage of these people, and I wish there was a way to convince them, but I just think they hate Democrats so much that they just won't listen to reason. So thank you for bringing this up, and I hope, you know, Trump supporters that are listening, if you're donating, think about it, because the only reason he's running is to pay his legal defense funds. He knows he has no chance of winning. So thank you.
Thanks, Vicky. I might not have been able to hear you, but everybody else did, and that's what's important. This is going to be really expensive. So if you assume maybe a team of conservatively 20 to 30, 40 lawyers pooled, right? You know, when you put all the different rates that the lawyers charge, including paralegals, maybe you're at a $400, $500 pooled rate. Do the math. Say 20 lawyers working 40 hours a week at a pooled rate of $400 an hour. That's how much Donald Trump is going to need now to defend these cases if Jack Smith indicts, or if the state of Georgia indicts. That just gets expensive very quickly. Again, thanks, folks, for hanging in there with us through some of the technical difficulties we're having here. Appreciate it. And he's not doing the big rallies anymore. He's just showing up at other events. And interestingly enough, he is now straight out of the autocrat handbook saying exactly the things that all autocrats for all of recorded history have said to folks when they're trying to hold on to or seize power, especially illegally. They say things like what Trump said this past weekend at the, I want to get the convention name right, that he was at the Faith and Freedom Coalition this past Saturday night. He said the following things: together we're warriors in a righteous cause, in a righteous crusade, not just cause, a crusade to stop the arsonists, the atheists, globalists, and the Marxists. I'll tell you a little bit more about the rich bits that he dropped just this past Saturday when we come back. Thanks for hanging in there, everybody.
We're just having one of those days today, aren't we?
Ooh, we are.
Yes, and when we are. Do, yes, we are.
We'll just roll with it. I'm getting a little bit of an echo. But welcome back. Yes. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show. We'll get the kinks sorted out, everybody. If you want to join us, 844-967-2789-TALK or text, call, text, carrier pigeon. Those might take a little while for us to put you on the air. But yeah, just this past Saturday at a gathering of evangelicals, Trump was again, you know, cloaking himself in the mantle of the evangelical crusader, the voice of morality in the country. Boy, that's bizarre. isn't it? I mean, listen, if the Biden family is denying a grandchild because Hunter had an ill-advised liaison with a stripper, then I say shame on them. That is elitist prickitude of the highest order. And he has a responsibility, that child and that family has a responsibility to acknowledge and love that child. But that doesn't explain the evangelicals' willingness to abandon all principle and allow a man who demonstrably has no morality except for the Church of Donald Trump to effectively use their religious belief to fleece their believers. Right? That's what he's doing. The through line here, everybody, is it's all about the money. He's got himself in quite the little rock and a hard place spot right now. He's got to get more money to defend himself. The legal costs are only going to go up. And who is there ready to foot the bill? Every single one of his defenders. The next time we get CJ on the air, Evan, you got to remind me to ask him how much does he cut his checks to Donald Trump for?
And he cannot wait. I can tell you now. He's excited. He wants to talk about this.
I'm sure. And is he okay with that money being used to fund it not being clearly disclosed that Trump's going to take it and not use it for a campaign expenditure, but rather to pay for his personal lawyers? And if Trump's such a billionaire, why is he using your money, CJ, or anybody else who's one of his most ardent defenders? Why isn't he using some of his multiple billions of dollars instead of putting his decisions not just on the back of every American who cares about our national security, but onto the back of every middle-class working folk who cuts a check to him? He's making his problems your problems, and not just a problem because our national security is at risk, but a problem because he's coming into your pocketbook to pay for it. I mean, come on, folks. That is a problem of the highest order. And he's starting, one of his most loyal constituencies are the evangelicals, opening up their pocketbooks to a man. Again, you cannot make an argument that Donald Trump is some paragon of religiosity or morality. He's not. Frankly, no politicians are. Maybe a little tangent here would be appropriate, Evan. I like it when I have these. I would offer you this. With respect to everyone who is a deep and fervent believer in some religion or institution, I actually think that most politicians are probably very crappy spiritual beings. Why is that? Because they're in something so innately ego-driven, especially when you ascend to these highest offices in a state, and especially to lead the free world as the American president, there's something that I just feel that is sort of categorically at odds with deep religious devotion, which in and of itself, especially within the Christian theology, but in most organized religions, eventually comes to a place where it's not about you at all. Right? It's about what you can give. It is a mentality of servant leadership. And that, to me, I just think is a little bit hard to square with raising your hand and say, I should be the decider, right? Like, that doesn't quite square up. But yeah, so Donald Trump raising money again this weekend at the Evangelical Faith and some such conference. And said, we're warriors together in a righteous crusade to stop the arsonist, the atheist, the globalist, and the Marxist. Well, I'm sure an authoritarian has never said anything remotely like that before.
A lot of good words there. Yeah, a lot of buzzwords. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And he also said that each indictment he receives is a great badge of courage in that crusade. And he says, I'm being indicted for you. Every authoritarian positions themselves as the only thing that protects you, whoever the you is, whomever they're speaking to, from the unruly mob. They always paint themselves as the saviors. But here's what, not only is this just a fleecing of hardworking and hard believing Americans that puts all of us at risk, this money is how he keeps people in line. It is a risk to speak out if you are from any of the Trump metaverse right? If you dare to speak the truth, all of a sudden your lawyers aren't going to be paid for.
Yeah, more than a risk, it's a guarantee that you're out. You are out.
You are out. You are permanently out. You may not find yourself employable if you were specifically a political operative. Corporate America may find you distasteful for what, you know, some set of reasons. Disney at least would, probably. It's probably a fair assumption. But this is how Donald Trump helps extract capitulation from people. He scares them. Can you imagine? I just want to think everybody to take an exercise in imagination with me here. Picture your scariest boss that you've ever had. Everybody that works at Civic Media may be thinking about my crew right now. Think about the scariest boss you've ever had. Now make them the most powerful person on the planet, the leader of one of the most overtly violent political movements in our nation's modern history. Now a self-appointed leader of a religious cause and a religious movement, and now make him one of the most media-savvy billionaires on the planet. That's what you contend against, as well as all of the people who will do his bidding, whether said or unsaid, oftentimes, because it is economically advantageous to them. That is entirety of the Fox network. That's One America News, Newsmax. That's what people have, financial ruin and physical threats to their safety. And so when news broke today, here's how all this comes together, right? News broke today. It was first reported by NBC that approximately 5 or 6 Secret Service agents have testified before Jack Smith's grand jury in the January 6th insurrection criminal investigation. So if you haven't been keeping track of the myriad criminal problems and probes that the former president has, Jack Smith indicted on the national security threat that Donald Trump poses still because he doesn't understand that he just doesn't get to take, you know, swag bags of souvenirs that come from like the National Security Agency about our nuclear plans if we went to war with Iran. You don't get to keep those after the job. He also is facing what could be a much more expansive, extensive, and dangerous for him investigation into January 6th. And now we find out that 5 or 6 of these Secret Service officers, which presumptively would have to include Tony Ornato and Secret Service agent Engel, Bobby Engel, who were with him all the time. They heard things directly come out of his mouth that they can be compelled to testify against. Now, the Secret Service for many years, and if you're on the line, please stay there. I will get to you, including you, CJ. Secret Service agents historically have always refused efforts to try to compel their testimony. They do this for what is a common sense reason. They need the president of the United States to trust them and to do what they are asking him or her to do to protect that person. And if you feel that the person who's standing next to you, whose job is to protect you, can be compelled one day to give testimony against you under oath, you might be less inclined to want to be around your protective detail. But that's exactly what's going on here. And it's going on here because the crime that we are talking about is the most serious one any American could ever be investigated for, least of which the President of the United States. An act of coordinated conspiracy to overthrow the U.S. government, to defraud the American public. That is what we are talking about. And of course, it has to be the case that the need to investigate as a criminal matter a former president's efforts to remain in power, to violate his duty and oath to us as Americans and our founding documents, that is a more important priority and must therefore take priority over the historical policy that the Secret Service had about trying to avoid being compelled to testify against presidents. We're not talking about, you know, a distasteful episode of oral sex in the Oval Office, right? We're talking about the violent overthrow of the U.S. government. And so how does this, what does this have to do with the fundraising? When we come back, we're going to go, maybe I can get a few in before we go to break, actually. But if you are on the phone, stay on the phone. If I don't get to you before break, we will start there. 844-967-2789. We don't know what these Secret Service agents have testified to before the grand jury. Grand jury proceedings are sealed. Now, technically, they, if they wanted to, they could come out and tell us what they said, but they probably don't want to do that. Why? Well, we have the example of Cassidy Hutchinson. Why do I bring her up? I bring her up because she is the most credible person, I would argue, that I have yet seen provide testimony about what was going on, not only on January 6th, but in the weeks leading up to it in the Trump White House. And why do I say she's the most credible? Well, because she tried for a long time to follow the Trump playbook, to do what the Trump paid lawyers were saying to do what the lawyers that your hard-earned money, that evangelicals' hard-earned money have gone to pay to defend the president's criminal cases, because she tried to follow their playbook, but she eventually couldn't. She cracked. And how do we know exactly what is the modus operandi in Trump world and the Trump metaverse? Because she said it in sworn testimony. She admitted that she had been coached by her lawyers, that her lawyers encouraged her at nearly every turn to falsely state that she does not recall. Now, she made clear that her lawyer, who was her prime representative, through her three different incidents of testimony before the January 6th committee, before she finally got a lawyer that was her lawyer and not a lawyer for Trump that was just acting like her lawyer, she made clear that he didn't actually tell her to lie. But the volume of testimony that she has provided about the many, many, many seeming innumerable ways that this lawyer told her that I do not recall is basically an untestable statement, and that should be effectively her watchword and guide to survive the testimony that she was compelled to provide to the January 6th committee. And it is detailed in her subsequent testimony. Here are the dates that Cassidy Hutchinson provided testimony to the January 6th committee under oath. February 23rd, 22, March 7th of 2022, May 17th of 2022, and September 14th of 2022. And when we come back, I'm going to take those calls, but I have in front of me her testimony, not just about what Tony Ornato and Bobby Engel said and were doing that day, but her testimony about how her viewpoint about how to survive this as a 26-year-old person evolved and why it evolved. It is revealing. I am Maggie Dawn. Stick with us. We got one more segment to break it down on the Maggie Dawn Show. You can join us if you're on hold. Stay there. I will be going to you first. This is Civic Media. I'm Maggie Dawn. Join us 844-967-2789. On Civic Media, join us 844-967-2789. So I've been weaving a tale of bait and switch, a tale of a candidate using campaign fundraising to pay for his personal criminal problems, not being super upfront about it. A tale about which I think it's a pretty grotesque unfairness when the person who's doing the bait and switch is himself one of the self-proclaimed richest men on the planet, claims to have billions. So use it to defend yourself, sir. Stop taking it from middle America. What a shameful thing to do. And how he uses this, as well as every other lever of power around him, to intimidate, bully, and scare the crap out of anyone who has been asked to testify. Only certain folks haven't bowed to it. So I promised to ask CJ on the air how much money he's given to Donald Trump. So I will fulfill my promise right now and welcome my friend CJ to the air.
You gotta come back, CJ. You gotta come back to us.
Oh, he left.
You can't leave during the break like that. You know, we were prepared.
Come on, CJ. Come back. Inquiring minds want to know. I certainly do. But listen, the reason that Ms. Hutchinson provides such a perfect example of what goes on is that she ends up being completely candid about the pressures that she felt when she was being advised for nearly a year by a lawyer that the Trump world had paid for. And that guy's name was Stephen Passantino. And if you go and you pull her January 6th committee testimony, the interesting stuff is not from the first three times she goes and testifies. You can skip reading that. I'll help you right now. That's the testimony on February 23rd, March 7th, and May 17th of 22. The actual testimony that Cassidy Hutchinson provides only comes after she gets her own lawyer, not paid for by the Trump world. All of a sudden, you've got a completely different Cassidy Hutchinson testifying. That testimony happened on September 14th. What she then proceeds to reveal is all of the coaching that her lawyers gave her and her absolute abject terror. She wanted to be on Team Trump. She worked in the man's White House. She considered it the job of a lifetime. And yet she knew she was being asked to magically forget things that she didn't forget. And she didn't want to lie. She was afraid for her own criminal liability. And so all of a sudden, this jockeying that you see in her first three testimonies or incidents of testimony before the January 6th committee, all of a sudden, all of the hedging, all of the jockeying, all of the I do not recall, but I can't really speak for that person, I'm not sure exactly what happened, all of that magically stops. And beginning on September 17th, and then in that compelling live testimony that we all should have gosh darn watched and seared into our memories, because holy cow, right? Then she starts telling the truth, not just the truth about what happened on January 6th, but what happened on January 5th and all of the weeks leading up to that. And what it points inexorably to are these Secret Service agents. You cannot mean to tell me that Hillary Clinton's emails are more interesting than the text messages that were completely lost from the entirety of the Secret Service that just happened to be the text that they exchanged on January 5th and 6th. Come on. If you want to see Hillary's emails, you got to tell me that you want to see those January 5th and 6th text messages. Because Cassidy Hutchinson has told us that the two primary Secret Service agents that she talked to that were on the president's detail that day were terrified, were almost shell-shocked, that the president was in a fury at them, that he wanted to be taken to the Capitol. She testifies about his direct knowledge that people were armed. He was trying to get them to take down the metal detectors so that he could command his army of angry armed citizens and walk them straight into the Capitol. They wouldn't take action to stop the chanting of "Hang Mike Pence." Don't believe me. Believe Cassidy Hutchinson out of her own mouth. Let's listen to some of that audio to close out this episode of the Maggie Dawn Show. We'll see how much of it we can get in here. Let's start with clip number two, and you can just go through them.
Ms. Hutchinson, is it your understanding that Mr. Ornato told the president about weapons at the rally on the morning of January 6th?
That's what Mr. Ornato relayed to me. The valet had articulated that the president was extremely angry at the Attorney General's AP interview and had thrown his lunch against the wall. I first noticed there was ketchup dripping down the wall, and there's a shattered porcelain plate on the floor. The valet had articulated that the president was extremely angry at the Attorney General's AP interview and had thrown his lunch against the wall. There were several times throughout my tenure with the Chief of Staff that I was aware of him either throwing dishes or flipping the tablecloth to let all the contents of the table go onto the floor and likely break. The president reached up towards the front of the vehicle to grab at the steering wheel. Mr. Engel grabbed his arm, said, "Sir, you need to take your hand off the steering wheel. We're going back to the West Wing. We're not going to the Capitol."
I remember Pat saying something to the effect of, "Mark, we need to do something more. They're literally calling for the vice president to be effing hung." And Mark had responded something to the effect of, "You heard him, Pat. He thinks Mike deserves it. He doesn't think they're doing anything wrong."
Yeah. That. So, Bobby Engel, bring him on. Put him under oath. Holy cow. This is it. What these Secret Service members will testify to if they actually take their oath to this country seriously is the whole shooting match. Because we know that Cassidy Hutchinson, a young woman of a mere 26 years of age, decided to do what real patriots do, and that is tell the whole truth, the complete truth, not to feign forgetfulness, but to step up no matter how harsh and bright the lights may be. We owe her a debt of gratitude, but boy, I gotta tell you, just decline those fundraising emails from Donald Trump. He's fleecing you anyways. It's all going to his criminal defense fund. Make that billionaire pay for his own gosh darn lawyers. I'm Maggie Dawn. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back tomorrow. Hopefully smooth sailing here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Network. Stay safe, everybody.